If you would, turn with me to Philippians 2, Philippians chapter 2. You also should have received, I think it was a yellow handout. Thanks, Molly, for demonstration. If you do not have a handout, just raise your hand. And anybody not have a handout? Okay. And I don't know where John is. Linda, would you mind seeing if you could locate those handouts? I think we just have George here that doesn't have one. Just make sure he gets one. Anybody else? Oh, Darlene does not have one. We have Jackie back there. So keep your hands up if you would, and Linda or somebody will come along and bring those, unless we're out. Are we out? Okay. Oh, nope. Elmer has some. So however many he has is how many you get. If you don't end up with one, just let me know. I'll be glad to get you the outline. So Darlene, right there. There we go. Okay. And I think George was, and Jackie. Oh, George got one? Okay. And Jackie remains, but oh, she got one? All right. There we go. We're moving along. Anybody else? I love that you guys are finding my outline so valuable that you got to make sure you get one, which in a way it is, and no pun intended, because we're going to see in a moment about value, but Philippians 2. And those of you that are streaming, if you could do me a favor, I'm getting more and more tempted. I like coming down to you guys and being with you guys. I miss doing that regularly. So I may do that. If you're online and that becomes too much, you're not able to see and that bothers you, just leave a comment and we'll ignore it. Just kidding. Leave a comment. We do want to know, you know, if things become too difficult. And Tori, let's go ahead and make a commitment to get a second. I know, she looked at me like I'm crazy. Let's get a camera just like the one we have, and then we'll stop looking at me like that. We'll talk later. Never mind. Because I think if we get another camera that angles down in this spot, we might be able to transition back and forth as we need to for those of you that are with us online. So Philippians 2, we're going to look there in a second. And as I've been describing to you the past couple weeks or so, you know, it's no, have you ever had like the elephant in the room scenario where everybody knows it, but nobody's saying it out loud, okay? So the elephant in the room that we all know is that before COVID, we were around 90 people or so in our services in attendance, and now we're around 60, 70, somewhere in that range. Now that's counting kids, there's some people downstairs, that's counting people that are hiding up there in the crow's nest. And stuff. I don't know why we call it the crow's nest, but why do we call it that? And that was before me. But anyway, about 60 or 70 people in the building. Now, some of that is because of COVID. Some of that is because we had some families that relocated. We had some other transferring that took place. So it's not all COVID. So we know that we were lower in people. And we also know that there's been an energy level that's kind of been changed by that. And also a decrease in activity at time, which is going back up again, but we had various reasons for that. So we know that we are kind of resetting and rebuilding, right? We're kind of restarting, and which is okay to restart sometimes. Don't you wish that sometimes you can restart certain things all over again? Maybe some of you wish you could kind of restart your whole life all over again, okay? So that's okay, and we're in a space of restarting. Not totally, you know, not from scratch, but we're kind of restarting things. So we have a negative in that we have a buildup to do again. The positive is, then sometimes the positives are not seen by all of you as much as they might be seen by me and others that are more involved in different aspects of the life of the church. The positive is our leadership team that's getting developed and the individuals that are focusing on leading, not just leading ministry, but leading teams of individuals, that includes you guys, to begin to collectively do the work of the ministry. And we've seen some good strides there amongst those teams and amongst those leaders. The other great thing is us starting our small groups, which two of the groups started 2 weeks ago, and we started four new groups last week. And usually when we had Bible study, when before COVID, at best, we were maybe 15 or so people there. After COVID, we were like around 10 or so. We had, I think, 33 individuals participating in our small groups this week. So that's at least double pre-pandemic. More than that, that's kind of triple where we were before. So that's more involvement that's taking place. And so that's a wonderful thing. So there are positive things that are starting to stir. But yet we still have work to be done, and yet we're also gaining some ground. So those are cool things that are happening. Now, you might be aware of this, that 2020 was a very peaceful and non-conflicting year, right? Nobody got in arguments or in tiffs about different things, right? Am I wrong about that? I think I'm wrong about that. 2020 was a year of great tension and conflict. We were kind of at odds with each other, and I'm talking outside in the culture. I know that that came in here also. There are many times that you don't know when there's a conflict that's happening, but there's different things that came in here, and that carries over in 2021. Even though some of that stuff died down, we still kind of, in a way, we don't like each other. You know, and I'm not speaking of you guys. I know you guys love everybody here. Nobody has any issues. Okay, but thank you for that, Carol. There are conflicts. We don't all see eye to eye about everything. You know, we're not all moving in the same direction, and so that kind of thing is there. And I don't think that we realize sometimes that, what did Jesus say? A house divided against itself cannot stand. Okay, so in order for us to thrive and become what we need to be, what Jesus wants us to be, there has to be a unity among us. But the question is, what are we uniting around, and what is it that we're striving to do, and why should we do that, and is that a call for us? And if you have already started reading Philippians 2, because I had you look there, you may have seen what it's saying in those first two verses. Paul says in verse 1, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion. So let me ask you a question. Have any of you ever received any of those things from Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit? Raise your hand. Okay. Anybody ever received that? Encouragement, love, compassion, all of those things. Okay. All of us. Have any of you received those things on a somewhat regular basis, whether it be monthly or what have you or more? Anybody receiving that on a somewhat frequent basis? Okay. All right, so then this must mean that this applies to you. Anybody having this on maybe close to a daily basis, where the Lord's providing this to some extent? And aren't you delighted that he regularly brings his presence to us and gives us various things from that? So we are on the receiving end of things that the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. And then Paul says, so if you have that, which all of you just said you did, unless I missed maybe a hand or two, then he says this, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. So if you've received from the Holy Spirit, then what we should do is strive to work with each other, to think the same way, and to have the same goals in mind. Now, that does not mean that we need to get brainwashed and think exactly the same thoughts and think the exact same way about everything. But there is a unity of thought that we need to strive for, not because somebody deserves it, not because somebody else treated me incredibly well, but because of what Jesus did for me, I need to seek to be in agreement with the people that I'm a part of, both in ideas as well as the things that we're going to do. So what is it we're going to do? Have you ever realized that there's a problem, there's a destination, and you know the location, but you have no idea how to get there? Okay, like, I don't know how to make that happen. Have you ever had struggles or issues in your life that you thought, I know what the problem is, and I know what it would look like if it was better, but I have no idea on how to make it better, right? Have you ever been there before? And that happens for pastors, too. Did you know that? Where I know where Bethel should be, and I know where we are, and there's times where I'm like, I got nothing. I don't know how we're going to get there. And some of it is because that there's a lot that is involved in that. So this morning, what we're going to focus on is, what is the focus, and what are we going to be doing, and what is our next step? So where are we headed? That's the first question. So in your outline, you have a number of references there. And our question is, what is our destination? Now, I'm not speaking of heaven, because we know that when we give our life to Christ, that's the ultimate destination. But I'm talking about what kind of body of Christ does God want us to be? What kind of body of Christ would result in the most health and thriving for all of us? So that's the destination. And what is that destination? What does it look like in detail? 1 Corinthians 12, and we looked at this last week, at least portions of it, 22 to 26 says, on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, with our more presentable parts, while our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. So we see that there's weakness, and there's lacking of honor, and then there's the body shows up and takes care of that, right? Not by expelling the weak person, but by strengthening the weak person and honoring the one who lacks honor and then rejoicing with and suffering with, and we are coming together and we're creating this space of safety and growth that should be taking place. Then Ephesians 4, verse 15 and 16, Paul says, rather speaking the truth in love, which I think sometimes we forget that last part there in love. Okay, speaking the truth in love. Just because you speak the truth doesn't mean you did what God wanted you to do. Okay, speaking the truth in love. We collectively. Not just I am supposed to become strong, but we collectively, we are to grow up in every way into him. Did God just through Paul tell us to grow up? Just thought that was interesting. So grow up. Grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together. So this, we collectively are growing, and we are growing when we are joining together, linking arms with one another, working with each other, doing the same projects, striving for the same things. When we are linked together, joined and held together by every joint, so there's nobody left out here, right? Every single one of us are jumping into this thing, okay? Every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly. But do you ever feel like sometimes your body's not working properly? Do you ever feel like sometimes your mind and your emotions and maybe even your spirit isn't quite working properly? Okay, so when each part is working properly, each part of the body of Christ, then it builds its, or makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So first, we have the vision. We are seeing where we want to go. Not that we are there, but we're seeing where we want to go. Okay? And as you see in those two passages, where we want to go is we want to create, and you see that up there, we want to create a safe space to make life better. And we see that throughout those passages because we're supposed to do this in love. We're supposed to be showing care for one another. We're supposed to be there for the one who's broken and weak, and we're supposed to support each other. And we're in this environment in which, yes, somebody can challenge me and encourage me to grow, but they're going to do it in the most gentle and loving and understanding and non-condemning way, right? Because you can speak truth. Isn't that what Paul said? Speak truth in love. So you can speak truth while still exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and all those different things. So we want to be a place. And when I say a place, I don't mean this building, okay? I mean us as people. When we gather together, whether it's in this building or whether it's in our small groups or whether it's in some activity like the ladies on Friday night, whenever we are together, even if it's just one-on-one with somebody in the church, when we are together, we want to be focusing on creating a safe space to make life better for me and for them. And the way we make life better is, well, how do we do that? So the next part of that is, what is it that makes life better? Well, first of all, imagine this, being in a space where you know you have people there for you, right? And they're there for you both in the encouragement aspect, and they're there for you in the way of the pushing you aspect, okay? But they're going to do it in love and with gentleness and all those kind of things. But you know that I have that. And when you have that, doesn't it seem logical that your life's going to be better because of that? Doesn't it seem reasonable that should be the outcome? If we create a safe space for one another, that this is going to make our lives better. But we see the destination, but what do I need to do to get there? What are the things that we're specifically trying to do to get there? And that becomes the mission part, the mission of what I'm doing, okay? So look with me, or you don't have to look with me. I gave you the references. You can if you want, but I'm probably going to move faster than you. Anybody remember sword drills in your children's ministry? Who could find the verse the fastest? Okay, all right. Matthew 28 is the Great Commission that says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Okay, so the mission is discipleship. And Jesus says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So the discipleship is showing somebody, teaching someone, giving somebody the example of what it looks like to follow Jesus. And that is part of what results in the better life, is that if someone was on the pathway to hell, like we talked about a few weeks ago, and we have a relationship with them that in the interaction and what the Holy Spirit does, it results in that now they're on a course for heaven, well, that person's life became better. And then when we begin to disciple someone and show them how to live for Jesus Christ, anybody feel like, those of you that are mature in your faith and you've been transformed in different ways and sanctified and all that stuff, do you feel like your life is better off than it was when you were newly following Christ? I'm not talking about passion level, because sometimes your passion level is real high when you come to know Christ and then it kind of wanes some, which isn't a good thing, but it happens. I'm talking about the blessings of life. Are they not better now from growing in your faith and understanding of things than they were before? Okay, so this is making life better by us striving to disciple one another. As well as Ephesians 4:12, Paul says, when he mentions the four or fivefold ministry gifts as pastor, teacher, evangelist, prophet, and apostle, he says the purpose of them, or of the body of Christ as a whole, is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And so discipleship does not just involve us showing people how to do spiritual disciplines. Discipleship involves us helping people discover what the giftings are that God gave them, the mission and specific purposes that they have, and how to fulfill those things. So it's not just, I pray more and I read my Bible more and I go to church more and I feel better about that. No. You, each one of you, has a specific assignment that's a part of the whole picture of the body, and we want, as a body, to help each other find out what that is and begin to start to do it and do it effectively. And then again, 1 Corinthians 12 that talks about all the different ways that we support one another. So here's the mission, and Bonnie, you could put that up there if I had that. I don't remember if I gave that to you. I might not have. To help people be saved, which you can include within that umbrella, discipled as well, know and fulfill their calling, and receive support. So our first goal is we want them to come to know Christ. That's kind of the entrance into the body. It's not kind of, it is the entrance into the body of Christ. We want people to become disciples of Christ. And then in turn, we want to help them learn how they can give in their service and ministry. And I want you to understand something, that I don't know about you, but I receive more when I give than when I'm just trying to soak it in, okay? The more I give out in ministry, the more I see coming back to me. But we also need to receive, right? Because we are all weak and we struggle at different points and we need somebody to come alongside of us. Moses needed that, right? When he had to hold the hands up for battle and his arms got tired, okay? So we all are needy and more needy at various times. And so what happens is you come into the body of Christ and you start to give. And then as you start to give, somebody else hopefully around you is also giving. And so at some point you're going to start receiving because other people are giving out. And then as I'm receiving, I become stronger and more capable and I have more to give and I'm starting to be able to give more again. And then as I give more again and other people, oh, there we go. Where was I? That was a great moment that was happening, and it just zapped right out of there. Don't you hate when that happens? But anyway, let's see if we can get that back. So I'm building,
I'm giving and I'm receiving, and you keep getting this strengthening that keeps happening, and the more I give, the more I'm receiving, and it just keeps building. Doesn't that sound like we just read? The body builds itself up in love. This cannot happen if I'm just soaking it in. If I'm just receiving and that's all that's happening. So if you're just coming to the services and you're receiving from the worship team, receiving from the preaching, receiving from the food that's in the back, which is fine, which we want to do, receiving from the social interaction that other people give me, receiving from the wonderful people that come up here and pray for others, receiving from that. If I'm just receiving, the body's not building itself up in love, at least not the way it should, because the growth happens when those who are involved in ministry teams do the work, right? And wasn't that what Paul said? As long as all the people involved in something do their part and work properly, that's where the growth happens, right? Now, am I missing something? It's when every joint does it. That's when we're building ourselves up in love. So every one of us. So this is the destination, to create a safe space for us to grow, or for to find, hey, you went ahead of me, Bonnie. Nobody look up at that screen. There we go. Thank you. We want to create a safe space to make life better. That's the destination. The mission is to disciple, to sow into each other spiritually, and then to give and receive and have that back and forth. But still, that picture is a little too large, isn't it? You know, I still don't know precisely how to tackle that thing. And I think sometimes what happens, and I sometimes do this to you, because I'm a thinker and I like to think, sometimes we get the whole picture, but we don't just get the next step. And sometimes we just need to know what's the next step to go on this journey to resetting, rebuilding Bethel, and getting to the place that God wants us to be. And so, though I want you to be aware of the Create a Safe Space vision and that mission there, I don't want you to memorize that. Pay no attention to the echo. We're good. Okay. You can hear me, right? Okay. I don't usually think that the enemy, like a lot of times people blame everything on the enemy. It rained, great, satanic attack. Have you ever had people around you like that? Man, I stubbed my toe, satanic attack. I don't usually do that with everything, but I intended this to be kind of a launching moment for us, and I think the enemy knows that. And he would love nothing better than to stifle any energy that starts to take place. And so our goal for you guys that are in the room is to not let that happen. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So if he is succeeding in any distraction in you, don't let it happen, okay? Whether a mic goes out or whatever, our Holy Spirit that we have inside of us is greater than a microphone or a sound system or power, right? Electric power, that is, okay? So the next step of the journey. Have you ever had anybody ask you that question, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, right? So we have a mountain to climb because we are not who we need to be, and there are a lot of things that need to happen. And here's the thing that I think that some of you don't understand is what it takes to build up the body of Christ takes more than what some of you think. And so in order to provide the kind of service that we want to provide to every single person, now keep in mind, we have about 60 or 70 that are coming in the building. We have another 15 or so that are online. And then the ones who come in the building, a third of you come once a month or so. And so it's larger than what you see in the building. And so in order for us to provide for all of those people, it takes a lot to do that. To provide what is needed for every individual, it's more than I can personally do. I cannot be there for you at every moment. I can't. I would love to, but I can't do that. Because in order for us to do this thing, we have needs. We need resources, don't we? We need time. I only have so much time. But when we collectively do this, we have a lot more time, okay? So we need time. We need energy, right? We need faith and confidence. We need people who have skills and abilities and talents. We need those things. And here's the problem is that when we think about, oh, yeah, we need this and we need that, where our mind usually goes is the second part of our two-part first step, and that is we need more people, right? Whenever we think about we need to help someone move, and most of us are older rather than younger, and we have the bodies that are not properly working, right? And we say, well, we can't help anybody move. We don't have the physical capability for that. And those who are younger, understand that when you're younger, like I've said before, you have more responsibilities than when you're older, which isn't that kind of a funny thing God does to us? You know, when you're younger and you have the physical ability, you don't have the time because you have so many things you need to do. And then when you're older, you have all the time, but your body can't do anything. But we need time, resources, materials, energy, and yes, in some aspect that involves we need more people than what we have now. But I want you to understand something, that the people that are presently here in this room at this moment, you have value to bring without those other people that we're hoping will come in here. Did you know that? Every one of you has value to bring to the body of Christ, to one another, and to who Bethel is. You have value to bring to that equation, to that table. The question is whether or not you're bringing the value that you have been placed, have placed within yourself. And you might think, well, is that biblical that I have value to give? Maybe you didn't pay attention to last week's message, if that's the case, if you're thinking that. But we'll just go with, for sake of argument, and remind you, 1 Corinthians 12:7 says that we have each been gifted for what reason? For the common good. All of us have been given gifts by the, all of us, okay? That does not exclude anybody. All of us have been given gifts by the Holy Spirit so that we can do things for the common good, so that we can bring value to the people that are around us and to the body of Christ. And that's not anything about who we are. That's that we are letting him work through us, right? But he waits because we are his hands and his feet, right? We are all the different body parts. So he often waits. If we want a move of God and we're just going to sit around and keep praying for it, which we should pray for it, but if that's all we're going to do, the move of God isn't going to come because he waits for us to begin to move with the movement of the Holy Spirit. You have value. You have so much to offer other people. Someone else might have more to offer. Somebody else might have something different to offer. But every one of you has value to bring. The question is whether or not you're bringing it with the places that you go. Ephesians 4:16, again, the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is properly working, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So how can I bring value? Let's just make this simple, different ways that we can bring value. And here's what I want you, and you can put that up there now, Bonnie. Bring value, bring people. This is our next step. And I want to make sure you understand what I mean by that. Bring value. Part of the way, and this is the easiest step, that you can bring value is come to the building on Sunday mornings. Now, I know that there are different restraints. Some people have certain health issues going on that they can't come in the building. Okay, so I'm not saying that without understanding. But if there is not legitimate things that are standing in your way from getting here, get here every Sunday, because when you are here, you bring value to what's happening here. Because there is more energy, there are more things that happen, there are more perspectives here when more people are here. And John had a great idea that we're going to test this experience out. John had an idea that he shared in the prayer room, and I think the timing was perfect. We're going to, on November 7th, I think that's the first Sunday of November, November 7th, what we're going to ask you to do is try a little experiment with us. November 7th is also daylight savings, so you get an extra hour in there to help yourself along and get here. I'm always amazed how when daylight savings comes, those who come at 10:15 still come at 10:15. I don't know what happens there. But anyway, you get an extra hour for that day, and that's four Sundays from now. So you have four Sundays to prepare for those of you that are here, for those of you who are streaming online, and we'll try to get this out to other people. If you know someone that's not here, you can tell them that we're going to do an experiment. An experiment is, I want every one of us to try everything we can to be here on that Sunday. So if you're a once-a-monther person, or if you're a once-every-other-week person, I want every one of us to try to be here on that Sunday. Are we going to do anything out of the ordinary? No, I'm probably going to preach a message, and we're going to worship and all of that stuff, so we're probably going to do the usual service. But I want you to test this out and see if there are more people in this room when we're worshiping Jesus, does it make any difference at all? And I'm betting that if we actually do this experiment, we're going to find that there is more value brought into the room when you are here. And you might think, well, I'm not singing anything, or I'm not preaching a message, or I'm not involved in anything. I'm just coming and sitting in a seat. I'm telling you, the more people that are in the room, the more value there is in this room when you are here. And it works the same with the small groups. It works the same with our activities and events. The more people that are there, the better the value is of that encounter. Am I wrong there? Okay, so bring value by bringing yourself consistently, bringing energy with you. So don't come into this playing saying, boy, I'm just really beat up today and I need someone to pick me, scrape me up off the floor. If that is where you are, that's fine. Like I said, we need to receive and that's great. But if all of us every week are just showing up saying, someone please pick me up off the floor, where's the energy coming from? Well, the Holy Spirit gives the energy. Yes, he gives the energy by breathing it into us and allowing his energy and power to flow through us. And so if we just come in here every week like, boy, I need someone else to pick me up off the floor, we're not going to have the kind of energy we need. So instead, come in the building saying, I don't care what everybody else around me is doing. I'm going to worship my heart out. I don't care what everybody else is doing when Pastor Danny is preaching. I'm going to get everything out of the word that I can get out of that so that I can be transformed and grow. I don't care what everybody else is doing. I'm going to come in. I'm going to start talking to somebody and talking. And you might say, well, I'm introverted. Guess what? I'm introverted and I'm standing up here talking anyway. Okay? So we're going to talk to people, socialize with people, smile at people. I can't tell you the wonderful difference it makes when someone walks up to me and they just smile at me. Isn't that powerful? Smile at one another. Share joy with one another. Talk to each other. Serve each other. Sometimes you guys are a little bit like my children in that you go walking around the room and you see trash on the floor. And what you do with the trash is this. And you don't pick it up because you think, well, there's some janitor that's going to pick that up, surely. Or surely Pastor Danny on Mondays, that's what he does. He comes up and picks up all the garbage. And while that is true, if no one picks it up, guess who has to pick it up? But that usually doesn't happen because we do have someone that cleans the church and stuff. But pick it up. If you show up and it snows and you see nobody could get to shoveling this, start shoveling it. Well, I don't know where the shovels are. Ask. I think sometimes we like to sit on our hands and say, well, I didn't know where the thing was, so I couldn't do anything. Do something. These are ways that we can bring value. Show up to things. Be energetic. Be passionate. Be encouraging. Be loving. Get involved. Do stuff. Serve if you see something that's not getting taken care of. Because I love this so much. This makes me feel so good when someone shows up to me and says, that thing is wrong. You need to do something about that, Pastor. In fact, I was at a minister's conference this week, and one of the things one of the speakers said was, whenever anybody comes to the pastor and says someone should do something about this, they're always thinking the pastor should do something about this. Which sometimes that's true, but listen, we just saw in Ephesians that the body builds itself in love and grows when the pastor does all the work, right? No. When every part is doing something. So instead of us waiting for younger people to start coming in the building, instead of us waiting for us to have more people in our services, when we have more people, we'll start doing things. When we have more skills and people that can do more things, then we'll start doing something. We're not going to get anywhere if we're waiting for that to happen. And so instead, let's all collectively decide we're going to bring value, not just here and not just in the activities of the church, in the workings of the church, but also in your neighborhood, in your home, in your job place. When you're out in the marketplace, going to the store or what have you, make it your intent on your heart that everywhere I go, I'm going to bring value to people. And you know what will interestingly enough happen if we decide that we're going to start bringing value everywhere we go? And this is, again, biblical because the Holy Spirit gave you gifts to bring value. If we decide we're going to start bringing value to every person that's around me in my life, you know what is the most intriguing thing? Is that second part starts to follow almost on its own. That people start to want to follow you. Isn't that what happened with Jesus? He went around and brought so much value all the time to the people that were in his life, and the people said, thanks for that, I don't want any more part of you. No, they said, I want to follow you. I want to be doing what you're doing. I want to go with you. And the people started coming because we brought value. So can we do that? Can we bring value? Okay. That was so weak. Can we bring value? Okay? So let's commit to, we're going to bring value, but we're also going to secondly bring people. Because though we can bring value without adding additional people, we still need to bring more people. And the less we have, certainly, the less we are capable of doing, because there is power in numbers. There's a lot of different things there. Plus, it's what God wants from us. Why do you think he said in Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation? Why do you think the echoes of his heart in 2 Peter 3:9 is that he was not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance? So God wants more people in here. Did you know that? God wants the people that are in the community that are not a part of any church in here. God wants more people, and so we should want there to be more people, not only new people, but the existing people. Like I read, every joint, when it's properly equipped and working, it brings the growth and love. So if you know that there is a Bethelite, did you know there's a Bethelite? Okay. If you know there's a Bethelite that's coming sporadically on Sunday, you go get them and bring them here. Well, I thought that's the pastor's job to do that. It is, and I try, but some people are going to listen to you more than me. Did you know that? I am giving you a commission. Yes, thank you. This is a commission. And if you meant by that, then I'm giving you like paid commission. I am in heavenly rewards. What's that? You're right. See, Molly's getting it. Yes. So, yeah, and I like that phrase, go get them. So this is what I want us to do. If you know that someone is a sporadic attender, let's go get them. Let's get them and bring them here. But get them by bringing value to them when you come to them. Okay, because if you just go and nag somebody for more stuff, they're probably not going to come. But if you come by adding value to them, by the way you're loving on them and serving them and doing things for them, then you might find that they might, when you say, now you come with me, they might say, absolutely. So let's go get those, or let's go get some of those. Have you ever looked around and wondered where's so-and-so? Have you ever thought that? If we haven't, that's not a good thing. Because that means there's people missing that we don't even know they're gone. Okay? If you look around and notice where's so-and-so, and I've not noticed them in like a year, and you have their phone number, call them and find out where they are. Buy them a coffee. Do something. Bring value to them and bring them here. If you know people are regularly coming on Sundays, but they're not going to a small group, you go get them and bring them to a small group. And I know that some of you have different things that kind of hinder you getting to a small group. And we'll try everything we can to help with that. But if you know someone isn't going to a small group, you go get them and bring them. And they might say, well, why should I go to a small group? You tell them the kind of value you gain from your small group, and you tell them they're going to get the same kind of value. So you go get them. If you want someone, ladies, if you want someone to come to the Friday night thing, you go get someone and bring them. And you know what always boggles my mind is when people say to me, can I bring someone that doesn't go to Bethel to this thing? Do not ever say that to me. I don't care what the thing is, unless it's the board meeting, okay, then that might be different. But most of the things that we do, activities, trips, retreats, services, small groups, Bible studies, whatever we do, bring anybody to those things. Well, that person's not a Christian yet. Just bring them anyway. Well, that person kind of dresses, you know, a certain way, or they talk a certain way. Bring them anyway. I don't care who they are a person. If they are a living, breathing person, then God wants them in the body of Christ. Bring them, okay? So this is, do you think we can remember this? Is this going to be too hard to remember? Bring value, bring people. Do you think we can remember that? And I'm going to repeat that over and over and over and over and over again until you can't stand hearing it anymore. That we need to bring value and bring people. This is the starting point. This is how Bethel is going to reach the vision of the destination we want to go, is if all of us collectively decide that we're going to bring value, bring people. Here's what I want to do. Bonnie, is that song working? It looks like it is. Okay, it is? All right. Because I don't know if several things stopped working, so I don't know what is. Here's what we're going to do. I want you to remain seated. And Joni, if you would, and I forgot, Joe, I told you a little bit about this, and I forgot to make sure this is clarified earlier, which one of the things I was going to say we can use to bring value to others is to understand that all of us mess things up and to give understandings to that. I mess things up sometimes. Did you know that? Okay, so I meant to make sure Joe understood that I was going to have Joni come up. So if you would, and I should have told you that too. I love when I put Joni on the spot. Joni loves being put on the spot and not knowing what to expect. And all I'm going to have, because what we're going to do is we have a song we're going to play that the worship team isn't going to do because Joe said, you know, we're not as familiar with that song, so it might be better to use the video. So we're going to use the video. When that's done and we conclude service, you can play for us like you usually do as anything, yes. Except for Highway to Hell. Don't play that song. I know that's what you play all the time at home, but don't play that. Is it a problem to have fun in church in the building? Okay. So here's what we're going to do. I want us to breathe a little life in us this morning. Amen? Okay. So what I'm going to do is we're going to play this song, Come Alive in the River. I don't know if you've heard it before, but we're going to play the song. And Abby's ready to pump the volume up some if you guys aren't getting excited enough. The lyrics will come with the video. So yeah, go ahead and get it ready to roll. The lyrics will come with the video. And what I want us to do is begin delighting in what we're believing in faith is going to happen, that we're going to start coming alive in the river of God. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to stay seated until. I want you to reflect on what is a way that I can start bringing value to Bethel. And I don't need you to figure out how you're going to do it, just what it is you're going to start doing. Whether it's, even if it's just I'm going to start coming to church more often, or I'm going to start talking to some people, or I'm going to get involved in a small group, whatever it is, I want you to start asking yourself, what is it that I personally am going to start doing to bring value to Bethel, first thing. Second thing, I want you to think of one person who does not go to Bethel, they're not associated with Bethel at all, that you want to start working to bring them here. Not asking you to figure out the plan on how to get them here, and it might be an impossible mission in your mind. But I'm just asking you to think of the person that you're going to decide I'm going to do something to try to bring them here. The third one is one Bethelite that you know that isn't connected to the life of the church the way they could, should be, and you're going to work on them. Okay? So I don't need you to figure out any of the hows. Do we understand? Just the what. That I'm going to bring value this way, I'm going to bring this non-Bethel person and this Bethelite person. That's what I'm going to start doing. When you get that, I want you to stand to your feet and I want you to start singing this song as loud as you can, okay? And I want to see how long it takes us to come alive, okay? Do we understand the instructions? Okay? All right, Bonnie, hit it. Let's start singing this and as you get.
Rising, rising, rising. Bursting, bursting up from the ground. We feel it now. Bursting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We coming alive? We're going to come alive. Amen. Now, here's the hardest part of the journey is the stamina that it takes, because we can get energized. And this is what I was thinking about that we're going to start talking about with worship at some point, is we can have someone else get us all excited, but we need to be able to get excited just because the Holy Spirit's working inside of me. And that's where the strength's going to happen, is when and we need the service sometimes, don't we? We need someone to come along and stir us up and encourage us and egg us on. But sometimes we need the Holy Spirit to start getting us to a place that we don't need to rely on somebody else to get me excited again. Okay? So let's come alive and let's start doing what God has us to do. So bring value, bring people. Can we do that? Okay, and over the next few weeks, we'll touch on some of the other core values we want to focus on, but we're starting there, so start today, start wherever you go, bring value, bring people, amen? Amen, God bless you, thank you for being here, see you next Sunday.